Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Today's topic in the Who Says series, who says pain should be avoided? By a show of hands, who says pain should be avoided? I mean, this seems like a given, right? Like, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to offer you $100, or I'm going to smack you in the face. Which do you choose? This may be the only thing Americans agree on. Like, we'll take the money. Anytime pain comes your way, I mean, this isn't rocket science. If you had to choose, and you have two paths, and one of the paths is pain, and the other is not having pain, by nature, we're going to choose pleasure over pain. And so as we face this topic, I have to begin just by telling you, this is a serious topic. And in about the 30 minutes that I'm going to share with you, there's no possible way to share everything I know on my heart, in God's mind and heart on the subject of pain. And I'm also, I worry about only two things when I'm speaking to you. I worry about what I will say. And I'm so thankful for a church that's filled with grace. And it is required. If you're a guest or visitor, you're going to find out through the course of this message, like, dude, he needs a lot of grace with what he's saying. So thank you for that. I worry about what I will say, but I get concerned about what I'm not going to be able to say. And I know that there are people who are in pain right now. And I also understand that this is maybe the crucial area that the enemy works in our lives. He has the job, an easy job, of taking any pain that we have in our life and blaming it on God. And there are people who are out of the church. There are people who are out of fellowship. There are people who spend eternity apart from God because of pain that they've endured, and they believe that it is only from God that they've endured that pain. And so the seriousness of the topic makes me pause. And I'm just sharing this openly with you as we begin, because the topic is so serious. I also want to make sure that if you're in pain today, physical or emotional pain, I hope that in the course of this simple message, you don't sense any judgment for the pain that you're in. God knows your pain, and he's actually with you in the middle of it. So I'd like to begin with a word of prayer just before we get going. So, Father, we just come to you today. We're so grateful that we get to watch as people are baptized. We get to worship you. We get to worship you with our giving. And now we worship you by looking at your word and thinking about your thoughts. I just want to ask you for the help of your Holy Spirit to speak the words that you want me to speak that would be beneficial and helpful. And most of all, that you would take your word and that you would really drive it into the hearts of your people. We are open today to your word. We're receptive to what you want to say. And the things that you speak to us about, even if there's pain involved, we embrace your words. And we thank you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you have to admit there's good pain in life and there's bad pain. Good pain would be the way that it's described by psychologist Henry Cloud. The difference between good pain and bad pain, like good pain that produces good things in your life and bad pain that doesn't produce good. He describes it this way. If you went out into the alley and it was a dark alley and a man with a mask came at you with a knife, stabbed you in the stomach, took all of your money, left you there unconscious, you'd say, that's bad. I just got mugged. If, however, you went to the hospital, a man came into a well-lit room with a mask and a knife, stabbed you in the stomach, took all of your money, and left you there unconscious, you would later thank him he performed surgery. Yeah, he took all your money, that's why you're laughing, right? You would thank him for that. There is pain in life that is beneficial. I'm not talking about all of the pain that's not beneficial. I'm not talking about all the things that happen because of the sins of others, although God can work all things together for good, and he will. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about all these things in your life where there's real pain that's been bad pain that doesn't produce anything. Neither am I saying that we should all be kind of sadistic and search for pain. Like, I want to grow, so I'm just looking for painful experiences in my... No, I'm not saying that. There are people who think that in order to approach God, they have to inflict pain upon their physical body. That is sadism. You don't need... That is not going to bring you closer to God. To crawl on glass and whip yourself in order to experience pain to grow? No. I would also probably add that life has enough pain without you looking around for broken glass to crawl on. Life with Jesus is, my experience, is like, you remember this game? Did you ever play this? The game came back. Did you ever play this game? Operation. And so it's a new game now because there's no piece of toast. I was looking for the piece of toast because back in the 70s, there was a piece of toast. I just connected with the food, I guess. So you know the deal is that you try to select one of these out of here with a steady hand. I think this is a much easier game now. Not surprising. When back in my day, they were little bitty, and we had to walk uphill both ways to play the game. And you try to pull one of these out, and of course, if you mess up on it, then that happens, and then it's your sister's turn, and you're upset. I believe in your walk with Jesus. Your walk with Jesus is not sweeping things under the rug and sweeping things under the blood. Your walk with Jesus is getting on the operating table and letting Jesus put on the mask. Take the scalpel in his hand of the Holy Spirit and do some work in you. And do some work in your life. There's pain that you find out in your life as you're married, as you have children, as you work with people. You find this out. You're not perfect. Now, you thought you were. But then other people around you tell you that you're not. There's surgery to be done. There's work to be done. And I had on the stage a cross and a couch. Which Christianity would you like? Yeah, thank you, one honest person, because everybody else is thinking it. I just want to chill. You know, I just want everything to be easy. I really don't want there to be any pain. I would rather not face anything. I want there to be a season. Some of you have come through seasons before where you're like, dude, I just want this to end. Will it ever end? And then we have the cross. This is completely, you can't sell this. Like, come and follow Jesus and carry your cross. What does pain produce? I mean, if it's good pain, we've left aside all the bad pain and all that. We're saying, if there's good pain in your life, the question is, can pain produce something that's actually good? Now, we all know that this is true because we've all been through pain that has produced good things in our life if we've allowed it. If you've been to the gym, you've seen all the shirts that say, you know, no pain, whatever. Pain is weakness leaving your body. Oh, give me a break. You have to wear that shirt? Maybe pain is your body saying, we need potato chips. Maybe that's what pain is. Maybe that's what I'm hearing. That's my t-shirt in the gym. You know, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. There's all these great sayings, you know, they're fantastic. I was Ben Franklin who said, what hurts instructs. But what he didn't tell you is the instructions are, don't do that again because it's going to hurt you. And the truth is that pain in our life does and can, it doesn't always, but it can produce good things. James chapter 1, 2 through 4, he writes this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. There was a different view of pain and suffering in the New Testament. Paul actually said, I want to know him in the likeness of his suffering. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience means long suffering. It's the ability to breathe deeply. The ability to endure long suffering. To stay in one place in the pain, trusting God is doing something in your life. This is real. This is character. This is what we see so little of. Let it do its perfect work. Don't squirm off the operating table. Stay on the table. Trust God that He's doing something in your life and it's going to produce in you what you've been praying for. We pray for things that we want God to produce in us. And when we're in situations where they start to be produced, we run like the weasels that we are. Then you run and then you come back around and you talk to God. And what does God say? Hey, man, where have you been? I've still got the mask on. I'm ready. And you're like, I need a new word from God. There is no new word from God. He tells you something, and then you avoid it. And then you either respond or you don't, but He's not changing the word for you. So you come back to Him, and you get back on the table, and you let that have its perfect work. There's examples in our lives, just in family and work. I'll give you two quick examples, where pain, and you know that pain is actually necessary. Pain is actually necessary. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 7 says this, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? These are the encouraging words. He said, my child, this is the encouraging words from the Lord. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Will you say discipline? Discipline. One of your favorite words. And don't give up when He corrects you. Will you say correct? For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one that He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Now, who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Obviously, the author of Hebrews has never been to Walmart. Some people grow up in a house where there's an authoritarian, a wrong level of discipline, an unloving, uncaring, angry disciplinarian, and so they decide that with their children there will be no discipline. That's two extremes. Neither of them work. When you're parenting, let me just talk about parenting for a moment. You impose discipline upon your children because they don't have self-discipline. If they were mature and complete and had self-discipline, you would never have to discipline them. These are conversations that you've had probably if you're a parent. You've had these, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, which is sometimes true. And sometimes when we discipline our children, they make it really miserable for us. One of the reasons that people won't discipline their children is because they don't want to be disciplined themselves. They're not long-suffering, and so they won't have their children ever suffer. And when you have your children suffer, they will make you suffer with them. They will make you suffer with them. You can take away their phone, but man, are they a pain when you take away their phone. I mean, you could stop them from playing the video game, but then what you want more than anything in the world is for them to go play the video game. Because they're right there, right there, right there, right there. And you're like, man, disciplining is rough. And they use the word, the B word, bored. We don't allow it in our house. You're not bored, you're boring. Go find something to do. I'm not here to entertain you. Aren't you glad you don't live with me? We impose discipline upon our children because they require it. They must have structure. They need to go to bed at a certain time. Now I'm totally meddling with you in your life. They need structure. Oh, they need discipline. They need order. They long for order and discipline. But one of the reasons that we don't discipline our children is because we ourselves, we don't like to discipline. And it's suffering for us. It's a pain to be a parent. I mean, it's wonderful and it's joyful and it's magnificent and all those things. But really at the heart of it, it requires an incredible amount of patience. It requires of you what you want to see in them. And they're looking and they're sensing and they're feeling, do my mom, now they will never say this, but they're figuring out whether or not you can delay gratification or not. They're figuring it out, whether you can be patient or not. They're seeing if you're long-suffering, if you're going to endure or not. And they will grow up all kinds of crazy if we don't impose upon them lovingly discipline in their life. And discipline is always painful. It's always painful. I think for everybody involved. I mean, Stephanie and I have had so many conversations where we're like, where you know you have to discipline your child. And then you're like, all right, what's it going to be? You know? What are we going to do? And how long is this going to last? And you know that if you ground them for a week, it's going to be a week where you are going to suffer with them. You're going to suffer. It's going to be a pain. So I think there's so many parents who just say, oh, forget it. Let's go to Walmart. Just go crazy. Throw your fit. I'm going to ignore you forever. Why? Because there's no pain in that. In our families, the pain of discipline produces maturity. If you've ever met an adult that's not mature, it's because they weren't disciplined. They didn't learn discipline from someone else, and now they have no discipline themselves. And we live in a culture where pain is being avoided at every turn. Yeah, it's a pain to be disciplined, to be a disciple. There's pain involved in it. Hey, we're grown people. Embrace the truth. Life has pain in it. And if you only live for pleasure, you will only experience pain. And if you constantly try to avoid pain, you will have pain. If you just seek pleasure, the end of it is going to be pain. What about at work? Maybe your work is the source of your pain. And at work, the place that you work, we spend so much time at work. And what you really want is honesty. And you want people around who will solve problems and that you can tell them the truth. You know, you've worked at a place, probably if you've worked very long, there's been places where everyone in the place is passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive, they sweep everything under the rug. They don't deal with anything. And there's just problems all over, but nobody will admit it. It is such an emotional drain and useless pain when you're in that situation. What you really want is you want everybody top-down to be honest, take feedback, and solve problems. We say on our staff, facts are our friends. And we don't avoid problems. We deal with problems. Problems are great because problems identify the place you need to work. And if you don't have to create a whole bunch of new stuff. Just go find out the place where you work, where's the problem at? Now, Lord, how are we going to solve that together, and how's the team going to solve that? And I get excited about hearing it. That's why we take surveys. The reason we take surveys is because they're painful. Like, let's find out how everybody's doing. Oh, this is going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You know why most CEOs don't take the surveys? You know why? They don't want to know because it hurts. Because there's problems and there's issues, and not everybody's happy. I don't know if you know that or not. So then we do a 360 review, and Eric does one, and I do one, and the people closest to us, and then the board has to sit there awkwardly and evaluate me. And, oh, is it painful for them? Because I'm their pastor, you know, and they're like, well, here's an area you could work on. And I'm loving it because it's like, it's painful for me. It's painful for you. Is this pain on a stick? This is great. Oh, why? This is the only way we're going to grow. This is the only way we're going to be healthy. I don't think there's a way in Jesus Christ that you're really going to grow, that you're not going to go through the pain of seeing the reality of the truth of where you really are. The good news is he will walk with you, and he will help you, and he'll encourage you, and he'll strengthen you with his righteous right hand, and you'll be a better person on the other side because of it. But we haven't arrived. We've got some ground to cover. We're going to get there. And there's nothing in your life that you can't face with Jesus Christ. There's nothing in your life that you can't face with him. See, at work, the pain of problem solving produces health. And if you'll have people who are honest about the problems, man, you can solve those problems. And that's what God, I believe, this is what thrills the Holy Spirit. To give you the wisdom and the ability and the desire to walk through it and solve the problem and come out on the other side. And when you come out on the other side and you high-five one another, and then you say, we've got a problem. And you deal with another one. This is the way it is. See, when you avoid facing the pain, you will only prolong and intensify the pain. If you avoid the pain, we're experts at avoiding the pain. Have you seen this show, Pimple Popper? I don't have a video, so don't worry. How many of you have never seen that show? You need to Google that. It's gross. I can watch it like halftime. I'm like, oh, tell me what happens. I can't stand it. Tell me what happens. But basically, there's this, I'll tell you about it. I know you're dying to know. There's this doctor who makes a living and now has a TV show where she pops pimples. And it's really, really gross. But not just pimples, but growths and different. How did we get on this? I brought this up, didn't I? Yeah. Oh, man, it's fascinating and awful. It's like a train wreck. You got to watch it, and you can't watch it, but you got to watch it. Well, there was this one guy on there this week who had a growth on his forehead, big. And, your heart just goes out to this guy. And, you know, he had avoided going to the doctor for 9 years, yeah, afraid. And he was really nervous, and you could tell he was really scared. And he just wore a hat for 9 years. And the doctor was so kind and so sweet to him. And it was just, it was precious. We were almost in tears watching Pimple Popper. We are weird. And after she went through the process and took care of it, I won't go into detail there. You really need to watch it. It's disgusting. Afterwards, he was so happy. And he said, you know, there's two things I'm really looking forward to. One, I don't have to wear a hat every day. And he said, I was really surprised that I looked in the mirror. You know, he hadn't looked in the mirror for 9 years. You know what that is? That's pain avoidance. It didn't change a thing. This thing is still growing, whether you look at it or not. Whether you put a hat on or not, and the essence of Christianity, the essence of Christianity is the cross. We are the people that with courage and faith and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we look at the issue. We look in the mirror. We look into the Word of God, and the Word of God is like a mirror of our soul telling us where we need to work and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it divides and it cuts and it's painful and it's hurts so good. That's a song for those of you who are young. You might not know that. Hurts so good. This is to me the essence of Christianity. But we can avoid pain. 1 John 2:16 says this, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. And these are not from the Father, but are from this world. All these cravings, lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of these things are from the world. And all of these things will be used so that we avoid the real work of the soul that God wants us to do. So people are trapped in pornography, hiding. People are trapped in addiction, hiding. Alcohol, numbing. I'm telling you that the foundation of this is pain avoidance. There's been real pain that's now being dealt with in an illegitimate way. There's a legitimate pain being dealt with in an illegitimate way. The way that you deal with this pain with the Lord's help is and the help of the church and your brothers and sisters is you sit down and look at it. And you let God, you embrace the pain. You'll either avoid the pain and intensify it or you'll embrace it by the grace of God and walk through it with Him and be better because of it. The most difficult thing you could do if your finances are messed up. If your finances aren't good, it just weighs on, as a husband, as a father, it just weighs on you. It just weighs on you. And it's impacting your life. The hardest thing you'll do, sit down and look at it. That's got to be over 90% of the issue. You need to get in Financial Peace University. And the reason is because then you'll sit with other people who are afraid to face their stuff too. And the news isn't good. And you look at it and it's painful, but then you start to realize there's hope. There is no hope if you never look at it and face it. But as soon as you look at it, the Holy Spirit says, we can do that. Is there anything too big for the Lord to do? Is his arm shortened that he cannot do it? Is there any amount of debt that he can't get you out of by his grace? He took care of your sin on the cross. He can take care of your finances too. But it takes faith and courage and the ability to sit in the middle of that pain. Embrace that. I'm fascinated with a moment in Jesus' ministry where he is telling his disciples that he is going to die. They were pretty convinced he was going to rule Rome. They saw him as a great presidential candidate, and it was campaign season. And they were lining up for who's the VP, who's going to run the campaign, who's going to, you know. And he tells them that he's going to die. The loudmouth of the group, the Apostle Peter, took Jesus aside. This is never a good thing. He took Jesus aside and said, you're not going to die. And Jesus then said to him, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the thoughts and the plans of God. See, the essence of this was that the Apostle Peter was saying what naturally in the world we would say, like, you're not going to die, you're not going to die. You're not going to have to go through pain. You're not going to have to suffer. This is the same thing they told Paul. If you go to Rome, man, you're going to suffer. You're going to endure pain. Don't go, don't go, don't go. He said, I'm not only willing to suffer pain, I'm willing to die if I go there. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because the Apostle Peter was there expressing the views of Satan, which is please avoid the cross. When Jesus was led into the wilderness and tempted, every temptation was about pain avoidance. You don't have to suffer. Look, you've been fasting for these 40 days. I know you're really hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Just make it happen right now. Use your power. You don't have to wait. You don't have to suffer. We don't need to put the seed in the ground and wait for it to die and then produce the wheat and then break that up and then have the bread, have the flour, have the dough, put it in the oven. I mean, all that time. You don't have to be in a process. Just get yourself out of it right now. How much damage has that caused in our lives? The Holy Spirit says, wait. Stay there in the pain. And what do? We leave the job. First chance we get. We leave the marriage. First sign of pain. Is marriage painful or not? Any married people in the house? Pain on a stick. Why? I mean, it's wonderful and awesome and great. My wife's sitting right there. I'm being careful about what I'm saying, I guess. She knows it's true. You don't last 23 years without having pain. And you don't have the first sign of pain like, I'm leaving. No, that pain is good. It's going to make you a better husband, going to make you a better wife, going to make you a better follower of Jesus. Stay there and wait. Oh, do we need this in our culture? Oh, we're so fast. The first sign of pain. This can't be God. I got to get out of here. Oh, they're offering me more money over here. Just go. Just go according to money. Just go. And the Holy Spirit's saying, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And they'll mount up with wings of eagles. And they'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Stay in your place. The temptation that the enemy lobbed at Jesus was, hurry up right now. And turn those stones into bread. And then, you know, take yourself up to the highest peak. And then, throw yourself off this mountain. And then he quotes from Psalm 91, or from Isaiah, I can't remember. He quotes and says, oh, he'll carry you in his hand. God will have to show you then that you are his son. If you jump off of this mountainside to commit suicide, then God will have to rescue you. And when he rescues you, then you'll know and you'll prove that you are his son and that he is your father and that he loves you. You don't need to do death the way that he's telling you to do it. You don't need to suffer the way he has you suffering. What you can do is you are God, and so you can do this on your own terms and do it your way, and then he'll be forced to act, and then you'll know and it'll be done. If Jesus would have even considered going up on that hillside and throwing himself off, the cross would have never happened. The salvation of humankind is in the balance, whether or not Jesus is willing to suffer or not, whether he's willing to go through Gethsemane. Salvation goes through Gethsemane, the place of the pressing of the olives. It's the place of the pressing, and all of us will go through this pressing, and it's painful, but he is with us. He's with us. Then finally, he says, if you'll just bow down to me and worship me, I will instantly give you everything God's eventually going to give you. I will instantly give you everything God is eventually going to give you. And you can have it right now. This is the flesh speaking. The flesh will always be impatient. And it'll always be, get it right now. I'm very, very aware of any situation that is pushy or any person that is pushy. When I watch QVC, on those rare moments when I pass by it, and Stephanie's watching it, unfortunately, I'm going to be sleeping on the couch tonight. I can feel it. When I walk by it, they're showing things, and they're making them look so appealing, and they're dumb things you'd never buy. Dumb. But it's like, well, that's pretty cute. I don't know. This is going to greet your friends when you come in the house. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. They're talking about it, and they're making it look great, and they're saying, now listen, you might be thinking about getting this. But if you try tomorrow, it's not going to be here. Which is when I go, click. I mean, what's it going to take to get you into this car? There's three people that want this house. If you're looking for a house and three people want the house, let them have it. Let them have it. I'm not going to be pushed because I sense in my spirit that's not the way the Holy Spirit usually works. To be pushy and forward and get it right now and do it right now. You don't have to go through the long process. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through the cross and all that pain, and you don't have to go through what you're going through right now to change. You just have instant right now, instant. No. Maybe this is why I was concerned about sharing this message with you, because the essence of Christianity is the cross. And Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to go die, but in Matthew 16, then Jesus gathered his disciples around after he had scolded the apostle Peter and said, if any of you, hey, any of you want to be my followers? They're thinking, yeah, I'd like to follow you. Well, here it is. You got to give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? It's one thing for Jesus to say, I'm going to the cross. It's another thing for him to say, you want to follow me? You're like, well, I thought so until you started talking. I don't know. Do I? You want to follow Jesus? There's a cross for you. And it's not on QVC, and it's not graphite and super light and padded and has Bluetooth stereo. I don't know where that just came from. There's splinters involved. And it's painful. How do you take up your cross? Three quick ways to take up your cross. If you're taking notes, you're going to have to let go of your rights. This is what it is to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it is to be married. This is what it is to be a father, a mom, a parent, an employer. You've got to give up your rights. See, the challenge for us is that we think we're God and we hold on to our rights like we are God. And Jesus was God, but he didn't hold on to his rights as God. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, though he was God, check this out. He didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Like, he gave it up. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. Don't you love Jesus? And he was born as a human being. And if that weren't bad enough, he appeared in human form, and then he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mindset that you have in your relationship at work, in your politics, in everything that you believe. I'm giving up my right to be offended. I'm giving up my right to be right. You can be right and prove yourself right, or you can be righteous. You can care and maintain the relationships that you're in, or you can stand in defiance against everyone with all of your pride and say, I am God. But you can't follow Jesus and do that because there's a cross involved. You got to let go of your rights. Number two, submit to God's will. Continually submit to God's will. This is one of the many things that separates us from Jesus, is that Jesus was in the place of the pressing and the crushing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, I would really like there to be another way. Are there any other options? Could we do this another way? But Father, not my will be done. I'm going to trust that. Can you imagine trusting the Father? And the Father says, here's my plan. And you say, whoa, whoa, that's your plan? My plan is that you are going to die on the cross. Can you imagine receiving that as a son? And I'm going to give you a name above every name. And you're going to come back from the dead. And you're going to reign. And you're going to rule. And you're going to be opening the scroll in heaven. And you're going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's going to be glorious. And for the joy that's set before you, would you just go through this pain? And Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. Oh, if that could be the end of every one of our prayers. I would like this another way. I don't want to be in the middle of this pain. But Lord, not my will, your will be done. I trust you. I trust you. This is the best thing you can say in the middle of the pain. Not why, but to what end. I trust you, Father, in the middle of this pain. That you're working it out for your good. That you're using it. That you're answering prayers. I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to move. I'm not getting off the table. Where am I going to go for words of truth except you? I'm just going to stay here until you heal me. I'm going to stay here until the work is completely done. The third thing you can do, the third way we take up our cross, we let go of our rights, we submit to God's will. Number three, the hardest one, stop retaliating. Stop retaliating. Did you know that every action that you take that is Christ-like requires suffering? Every action, every reaction of yours in your life that is Christ-like requires at least a moment of death. Because you could say, but you hold your peace. You can be angry and not sin. And in that moment when you're angry and you're not sinning, which usually means just shut up, use your brain, because that's the first thing that turns off when you're angry. In that moment, you know what that is? Crucifixion. It's pain. It's death. When you're not responding, well, I mean, we come from an Irish family, and that's the way, no, you come from, your king is the one who died on a cross. You're a Christian. You're not Irish anymore. You're in a new kingdom, and you have a new king. And so you behave in a new way. But in all of those responses that we have, every action, every reaction that is Christ-like requires that moment of death. And the beauty of it is you've already experienced this, the beauty of it is, one, you don't have to go and apologize afterwards. And in that moment, there is peace and there is joy and all of the fruit of the Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you to enable you in those moments to respond that way. You do not have to respond in anger, because you have the greater one living on the inside of you. And the only way you won't respond that way is if you're allowing and embracing the fact, this is going to hurt. Instead of hurting others, instead of demanding my own rights, I'm going to submit to the Father, and I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to take this to the Lord and honor him. The beauty of this is, if we will endure the pain, God will grow us. And there's nothing better than growing in your life with Christ and being more mature in him. You have this idea in your mind of what you'd like to be, and God has this in mind as well. And if you'll endure the pain of it and walk through it with him, there's going to be great joy. Psalm 30, verse 5 says it this way, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Will you stand with me? We'll pray before we go today. There's a prayer and communion down front today. If you'd like that, just after we pray. Can I say one more thing to you? If you're in a spot right now of real pain, just as your pastor, would you let me encourage you? Grieve. Will you allow yourself, please, to grieve? Grieving is a gift from Almighty God when you're in pain. You need to grieve the loss of a loved one. You need to grieve a loss of a job. Did you lose something? How's your health? Have you lost something in your health? Will you allow yourself to grieve that loss? If you're having a funeral for a family member, that's great to have a celebration of life. We'll do that with you. We'll celebrate life. But you also need to grieve. It's a gift from God. And if you're in a rut right now and you can't get out and you've been in a rut of pain, this may surprise you, but the way out of that rut is to grieve. Allow yourself that gift that God has given you with the help of others around you to grieve that loss. Would you bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, God, that we don't have to sweep things under the rug. We thank you that we have a God who deals with real issues in real life. And God, I just pray for all of us today. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are in pain today. That's who we're thinking of. Father, for those who have suffered loss, for those who've gone through a really tough transition, they've been in a rough season, and maybe a job that's been lost, maybe there's physical pain, there's a loss of health, Father, we so love your body, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters. And we just pray for everyone today that's experiencing and going through pain and suffering and loss. God, would you strengthen them? Would you encourage them? And would you surround them with people who love you and love them to help them through the process? We thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.